This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 2 months ago, plans were unveiled for a new sports and entertainment district to be built on largely vacant land between downtown and midtown Detroit. The centerpiece of the development would be a brand new home for the Detroit Red Wings. The developers would be Olympia Development of Michigan, owned by the Ilitch family, the same family that owns the Red Wings. Tomorrow night, the public gets its first close look at the details of the new $450 million arena at a meeting of the Detroit City Planning Commission. David Uberti recently wrote a piece for the Columbia Journalism Review. He looked at the way reporters cover new stadium construction stories, not just in Detroit, but across the country. And he notes a distinct cheerlead first, ask questions later approach. Good to have you with us, David.
Thanks for having me.
You looked at news coverage in cities all across the country, not just Detroit, and it seems you did not have to look too hard to find coverage that seems to be a lot more rah-rah and a lot less probing.
Sure. Now, of course, this is an issue in almost every major American city, and the difficulty of covering this from a reporter's perspective stems in large part from the fact that it takes place at the intersection of three very different subjects, those being sports, business, and politics. So in a lot of cases, you might have sports reporters who could be overwhelmed by the economic aspects of these projects, where in other cases, you might have economics reporters who might not truly understand the sports aspects of this. So it's very easy to cover in a very servicey way. And what's more, a lot of these sports organizations have proven very adept at managing the media message. They have a lot of resources, and obviously, given the fact that they are in the entertainment business, they are very proactive and very effective at marketing their wares to the general public.
Well, July 20th is when the Ilitch organization announced plans for a new Red Wing stadium. And you included a clip from a report done on WXYZ-TV, the ABC affiliate in Detroit. Let's take a listen to excerpts from that.
On his 85th birthday, Red Wings owner Mike Ilitch and his organization released the tales of a new sports and entertainment district. The Ilitch organization says the project will generate nearly $2 billion in total economic impact, as well as thousands of new jobs.
It's a plan that promises to make downtown Detroit the shopping, dining, and entertainment mecca of tomorrow. These are the first public renderings of Red Wings owner Mike Ilitch's vision for the $650 million sports and entertainment district. The blueprint takes dozens of blighted blocks along and near Woodward Avenue and transforms them into neighborhoods anchored by Comerica Park, Ford Field, the Fox Theater, and other landmarks.
I think it's going to be great.
Why did you choose that report, David?
Well, I mean, you see in this report one of the hallmarks of poor coverage when you're talking about stadium construction here, namely the fact that the anchor, and they cited the projections of $2 billion in economic spinoffs along with thousands of jobs. I will say that there are a number of reasons why the arena district looks promising for Detroit, but at the same time, academic literature and economic analysis of these plans is almost universally in agreement that such projections are way off the mark. While it is important to cite these projections because in a lot of cases, as with Detroit, they do have well-known economists carrying them out, it's also healthy to have a big dose of skepticism when relaying that information.
There is kind of an energy, if you will, that almost sounds like it could be something that the sports team itself put out about this story. And I'm wondering, is that because trying to take a deep dive into the complexities of a stadium financing deal, it's just impossible in a minute 15 package for that 5 p.m. news? Those reporters don't even get 90 seconds usually to tell their stories.
Sure. No, that's definitely part of the problem. I spoke with a number of people in the Detroit area who covered this, and they said that the Ilitch family had given them basically 24 hours before they had to publish this. So that's really not enough time to do any sort of deep analysis on the economic spinoffs or perhaps even the development spinoffs that could be possible with such a project. And with the case of a news reporter, for example, as you mentioned, a 90-second package is not nearly enough time to really delve deep into some of the corresponding economic questions here.
And in fact, I know you spoke with an editor from Crain's Detroit Business who pointed out, really, it's separate stories. It's the here's what the Ilitches are saying they want to do, and then a subsequent story could be that deeper dive that asks tougher questions.
And Detroit is lucky to have a guy like Bill Shea, who's actually very adept at covering the sports business world. And obviously, it does take a very long time to really present a nuanced analysis of such plans. Having said that, I think it's important for reporters in Detroit or elsewhere to cite such numbers with a grain of salt. obviously the media narrative takes shape on day one stories in a lot of cases. So by not expressing some sort of skepticism at such projections, they could be leading their readers on to expect something that's not likely to happen.
I'm talking with David Uberti, who's with the Columbia Journalism Review. He wrote a piece for CJR looking at why it is local media struggle covering sports stadium construction. And I have to wonder, as you analyze these stories from across the country, do you find that it's easy for reporters to get overly caught up in the buzz of a big sports story? And by that, I'll cite something from some years ago when I was a reporter for a TV station in Detroit, and the Pistons won the playoff. And whoever did the live shot that night was kind of scolded the next day because it was all about we this and we did that and we won. And she was waving the big foam rubber number one finger, we. And it was pointed out the next day, hey, folks, we're supposed to be objective reporters. Do they drink the Kool-Aid?
In some cases, they have drank the Kool-Aid. Obviously, everyone wants to be behind a winner. And obviously, sports teams help form an integral part of local identities in Detroit or Buffalo or elsewhere across the country. But the challenge for reporters, as I say in my piece, is they have to evaluate both the tangible, those being the economic spinoffs and development spinoffs and whatnot, and the intangible benefits of having a franchise in town. The challenge for them is to ensure that the reporting on one doesn't affect the reporting on the other.
Yeah, and as you know, America likes a winner, and so do its readers, viewers, and listeners. And, you know, the difference between being a major league town and a minor league town and people's minds is big. So there is a lot of reason to kind of generate extra buzz.
Oh, there sure is. And it also is worth mentioning that media are stakeholders in this. Sports represent a huge part of local newscasts or local newspapers. Sports sections are often the largest sections in local newspapers and whatnot. And if, say, the Red Wings were to skip town and go to a different locale, the first person who might lose their job is the Detroit Red Wings reporter. So obviously there is an interest in keeping teams in town, but that shouldn't be an excuse to allow some of this hometown rah-rah coverage to cloud media skepticism.
And we should note that there were people that did do that deeper dive as the story progressed, but as you say, day one coverage kind of drives it. So what are you saying, David Uberti, in your Columbia Journalism Review piece to the public who reads, watches, and listens to these stories?
I'd say just remain skeptical. Obviously, academic literature is becoming more widespread in this topic. Economists are almost in full agreement that stadiums don't usually produce the promises that have initially been laid out. But as far as what citizens should think about is that this is, in a lot of cases, a political question. Should local governments, be they city government or state government, subsidize a local business? They have to evaluate by themselves whether that's worth it. But I will say that media coverage across the country is getting better in this respect because, in a lot of cases, different cities have gotten burned by stadiums that did not pan out.
David Uberti is a Delacorte Fellow with the Columbia Journalism Review. You can find his piece, Why Local Media Struggle Covering Sports Stadium Construction, at cjr.org. Good to talk with you, David. Thank you.
Thanks.